Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
John 15:5. No longer I call you servants, for the servant know not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus desires to reveal himself to you. He desires to have an intimate closeness with you. He has called you his friends. He wants us to seek him, to get to know him, so that through him we may see the Heavenly Father. He says in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. We search for God throughout all our life. And although we know him, we know so much of him, yet we know so little. And we realize daily how little we know him when we fail and when we come short of what he wants us to be. We search for God, although he is so close. He has revealed himself to you by sending his only begotten Son, by calling you with his high calling. Not everyone is able to see things which are real and evident, just like the Jews were unable to recognize their Messiah. Apostle John will tell us, he came to his own, yet his own did not recognize him. He also tells us in John 3:19 that the light came to this world. They could see with their own eyes. They could touch him with their own hands. They could hear his voice. Yet, they were unable to recognize his greatness, which was transpiring from him. Him who appeared to be just an average person. Not everyone is able to recognize what is holy and what is spiritual. And this is his gift to you, that you are able to see, and this is a gift of faith. At the Vernon Convention, we consider a simple question asked by Jesus in Matthew 16:13. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Let me just take a few moments to review a few thoughts. We look at several ways to answer this question. We look at the cultural answer to who is Jesus. We look at the religious answer. Also, at the personal experience of who Jesus is. And then we consider Jesus' own answer in some of his I am statements. We can look at Jesus and his teachings from a number of angles. We can view him from the prophetic standpoint and ponder upon the hundreds of prophecies that came to pass. We can also look at Jesus from the logical standpoint. In the explanation of our own life and our own realities. Or we can take the teaching of Jesus from the standpoint of our own experience and apply them in our daily living and check them against our own knowledge, what life brings to us, what life is all about. The way we view Jesus will determine the way you feel about him. And the way you understand him. Our perception about Jesus won't change him, but it will totally change us. It changes everything about us. Who you say Jesus is in your heart, it will determine how you will follow him. If you think Jesus is a good teacher, then you follow him as you will follow a good teacher. If you think that Jesus had some good ideas and had a good insight into our human psyche, our human life, our human heart, then you will listen to him from time to time, what he has to say when you encounter questions in your life. If you think that Jesus was a good example, then you will try to follow his example. However, if you believe that Jesus is the promised Redeemer who came to this earth to pay the ransom price, to conquer sin and death, and to give you justification, and bring you to oneness with the Heavenly Father, that changes everything about you. It changes everything about us. In Vernon, we begin our thoughts by visiting John chapter 8, verse 58, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." From his own lips, we learn, "I am unchanging. I am your Redeemer." We also consider John chapter 6, verse 35. "I am the bread of life." And from that we learn, "I am life itself. I am the only means of justification." But Jesus doesn't want us to come to him because he is our Redeemer. He wants us to come to him because we see what kind of Redeemer he is, what kind of Lord he is to us. It is not because we come to him because we have no choice, but because we long and we hunger for him, and because we genuinely love him. Jesus wants us to see who he is like. He wants us to feel what he is like. And he wants us to find life in him. He wants us to understand that only in him we can experience what truly means to have an intimate relationship with God. What truly means to be human. This is why we have all those I am statements in the Gospel of John. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am a good shepherd. I am a resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, the life." Jesus gives us one statement and then he stops. And then he gives another one and he stops. He keeps stopping and giving another taste of who he is. Why does he do this? Why does he stop? Because he loves us. He stops over and over again. He says, "Hold on. This is who I am. This is what I'm like. This is why you are craving for me." And this is what we do. We are getting taste of the loving character of Jesus by walking through all the I am statements about him. Yes, they are different cultural views of Jesus. Yes, they are different religious and personal view of him as well. But we could say that Jesus' own answer to this question, "Who is Jesus?" wipe out all those views. Because according to Jesus' answer, there is only one answer. There is only one view. And with that in mind, we will turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The theme of spiritual light is used throughout the scriptures. The idea of light is being used in the scriptures when speaking about God's glory, God's knowledge, God's justice, God's unchanging nature, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. Light is used as a symbol of God's favor, Isaiah 9:2. People who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. The prophets have used the symbol of light to comfort and to inspire hope. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen up. Light to Israelites was the hope of resurrection. The hope that is still not realized as we are waiting for the completion of the resurrection of Christ. Brother Russell explains this in Reference 751. The Israelites believed and were inspired and stimulated by the visions of their prophets. Isaiah 60:19-20. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. The pursuit of Hebrews was expressed and symbolized by light. The Lord is the light and my salvation, Psalm 27:1. And many other phrases. And then Jesus claims, I am the light of the world. Let us see where Jesus was when he said this. In John chapter 8, we find Jesus and his disciple in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a celebration to commemorate how God led the people through the desert. So for a number of days, they live in those little huts and they will celebrate God's provision for them. One of the ceremonies was the drawing of water. Which actually showed how God provided for them. The other ceremony was the light ceremony, to remind them how God led them through the darkness of the night. We all recall the pillar of light. When the sun went down, a pillar of fire came up, and the people of Israel followed this pillar as their guide. During the Feast of Tabernacles, people will lit torches and celebrate throughout the night. Even the golden lampsticks were also lit up, illuminating the temple. This was prophetically looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus said, I am the light, he was speaking loud and clear and directly to their Jewish tradition. But what does it mean to us today? How many of us got up this morning, switch light, and say, thank you, Lord, for the light? The light was very special and precious to people years ago. But the realities are slightly different today. And we are different today. But are we really different? I think that our generation, our Western culture, is consumed and caught up in pursuing of light today. This statement, I am, speaks directly to us today. And it relates to us on many levels. This statement speaks directly not only to our culture, but to our condition. Our Western culture today is very comfortable with spirituality. We see ourselves today as sophisticated and mature enough to be able to acknowledge spirituality. But at the same time, most people would reject religion. We as people talk about this a lot, especially in the mass media. We talk about spirituality, and we feel interconnected with one another, with various ethnic groups. We feel interconnected with the nature. We sort of feel spiritual because we are responsible for, not for us, but for the entire universe. We feel responsible for the climate change, for the animal kingdom. We feel responsible for the ocean and feel connected with it. And it makes sense because we feel that there is this inherent value to life. We think that all living creatures have the right to life. At the same time, the radical Muslims show total disregard for human life, inflicting terror, using suicide bombing, where life is used as a weapon, of means of weapon. And in the middle of this, there is this idea of light, idea of spiritual enlightenment. Spirituality is mass marketed today by different leaders like Chopra and Eckhart Tolle and many others. And they are telling us, they are trying to enlighten us with this idea that to know yourself is the enlightenment. To know yourself truly the way you are. In this new spirituality, God is set apart and you are the center of the universe. We can quickly see that a lot of those ideas come from the Eastern religion. But even though those ideas are telling us that people today are looking for light, they are looking for a center and purpose of their existence, people are still asking the very same question that Jesus came to answer. And Jesus says, I am the light. And when he said this, he speaks directly to our condition. As most thinking people must admit that we want to gain a perspective of whom we are. Jesus is the enlightenment which the world is trying to find. He's not saying to us that he's one of the lights. He's saying clearly to us, I'm the only light. He's the only light the world can be enlightened by. He's the only one. As we live in a very specific time, a time of trouble as never was before, and we believe that the church is being close to completion, that is why even more than ever before we need to pay close attention to the words that follow. That follow the statement, I am the light of the world. As he continues, he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. But this is not quite where it ends. There is another dynamic. There is another dimension, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city cannot set on a hill cannot be hidden. We need to pursue the light. We need to pursue the truth every day. We need to reflect the light of the world around us, to the world around us. To pursue the light means, as it's expressed by Apostle Paul, looking unto Jesus. It is allowing Jesus to penetrate the darkest recesses of our heart, the darkest recesses of our life, to enlight the darkest corners of our life, heart. Through our faith in the justifying blood of Jesus, He wants to remove those dark spots from your life. He wants to remove them so you may follow Him. He who follows me, we will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us adjust our eyes to Jesus. That we'll never look away from Him, not even when we leave this place, or when we go back to school, or to work, or never. And the way to do this is to fix our minds and to fill our hearts with His word, with His truth, with His promises, with His Spirit. And pursuing the light, it is allowing, is always lead us to people who reflect light. And I give you a simple illustration, and welcome to close your eyes if you want to take a full advantage of it. Imagine you found yourself trapped in a dark room where everyone is stumbling, trying to find a door. And through a keyhole, there's a silver of light. Once you see it, all you have to do is move towards it. But there are other people around you in the room who are stumbling around in the darkness, not seeing the light. But you know there is a light as you have seen it through the keyhole. But what if you have a mirror? And what about if you could just literally catch the stream of light and shine around you? Then people will see the light and start to move towards you, towards the mirror. But as they move closer to you, towards you, they see that you are not the light. But you are just a reflection of it. And from your reflection, they will see the source. And this is what it means to be disciples. To be His disciples. You can open your eyes now. God did not just give you a mirror. He made you a mirror to reflect Him. This is our purpose in life, to reflect the glory of God, to look at Him, to keep our eyes on Him so intensely, for so long, that when people will look at you, they will see a reflection of Jesus and of our Heavenly Father in you. To walk with God and to reflect His light is the purpose of our consecration. And that's what it truly means to be human. John 3:19. The light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. But he who practices the truth comes to light. He who practices the truth. This scripture poses a simple and obvious question. What do you practice? What do you love? As we already mentioned, the pursuit of Hebrews was symbolized by light. For the Greek, it was knowledge. For the Romans, it was glory. And when Apostle Paul, who by birth was Greek, with the citizenship of Rome and living in a Greek city, he has given this statement of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:16. God, who caused the light shine out of darkness, has caused his light to shine in your hearts, to give to us the light of knowledge of glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, our Lord. For the Apostle Paul, the ultimate statement of his faith was not just idea symbolized just by light, not just by knowledge or glory, but the very face of our Lord Jesus shining in our lives. Jesus, do you know him today? Let us very briefly look at a few more I am statements declared by Jesus. Let us see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father but through me. The friendship of Jesus with his disciples was very tender. It was the warmest friendship this world ever experienced, ever known. For there was never any other heart with such a capacity for loving, for kindness, for understanding as the heart of our Lord Jesus. Jesus knew that soon he would have to go away and he no longer be with his friends. And he longed to be remembered. His farewell evening was very affectionate. That he may not be forgotten, he took bread and wine, and he break one and pour out the other, and he give to his friends as a mementos of himself. Also, a part of that master's farewell evening were answers and questions with his friends, which his friends asked him. A series of friendly conversations with one another. Those men, just like you and I, had their difficulties. And they brought those to Jesus, and Jesus explained to them. First was Peter. Peter usually goes first. Peter had a question, as Jesus spoke often of him going away. Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me later. Thomas, listening to those words, was totally perplexed. Thomas was very careful about his perception. He would take nothing for granted. He would not believe until he could understand. Lord, we not know where you go. And how can we know the way? He asked. We are glad that Thomas asked such a question. For it brought the most insightful answer. Jesus himself is the way. Jesus himself is the truth and the life. So is for us today. To know Jesus is to know the direction and destination and the purpose of our life. Christ is our way of living. He reveals the truth about us, about ourselves, and he gives our life a meaning. During his ministry, Jesus gave many beautiful parables. But one parable of the good shepherd and the sheep is a reference to his intimate knowledge of all of us. A good shepherd looks after his flock and all his sheep, and lays down his life for them. And in explanation of this parable, Jesus is very direct. I am a good shepherd. Good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. Perhaps the true weight of those words the disciples grasp when they find themselves in the shadow of the cross, listening to his last words. It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus' lifeless body hung on the cross. He could no longer hear the loud sound of cracking rocks. He could no longer see the temple veil being torn apart. A veil that opened new and living way. Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil which is his flesh. Perhaps at that moment the disciples recalled, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find a pasture. Jesus is the door. Only through Jesus' sacrifice we can go beyond our human nature. And if faithful, we'll be changed to a higher nature, the spiritual. Go in and out means that only through Jesus, the door, we can enter into the rest of faith and peace and go out into a pasture of his blessings. I am the door. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Dying on the cross, raising from the grave, Jesus showed that he can transform death into life, weakness into strength, failing into victory. When we look unto Jesus, we ask him to give us eyes of faith, allow us to see the light where there appears to be only darkness, and life when we can only sense death. We are asking him to give us his grace, to believe with our heart in all his I am statements, by mostly holding to the one that he gave to Martha in John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. And he is asking us today, do you believe this? At times when we are at the end of our courage, and when our energy may be gone, let us look at Jesus, how he endured. May this inspire and convince us to get up and continue our journey to follow him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The church is made up of those who believe in that Jesus, who believe in that Jesus and know him intimately. May God, grant you this privilege to know Jesus intimately. Amen.